Mitsubishi 4B11 or 4B12 engines. Dealers will make repairs at no cost to owners. The recall begins March 27th. Ron DeRockster reporting.
Well, it's Groundhog Day, and Pennsylvania's most famous groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, saw his shadow this morning. Legend has it that means no early arrival of spring. Phil says we can look forward to six more weeks of wintry weather. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott.
Good morning.
This is Free Fire Radio.
Whoa, good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on a Friday, February the 2nd, 2018. 5.5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock. You know, as usual, the news is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Newly remodeled, same great attitude, same great walk-in humidor, same great people that do a lot for our community down at Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week. Good morning. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
What do we got here for how you doing, Jared? You're looking especially spiffy today.
Oh, I'm just dressed warmly because it's cold.
Is it? It's 78. It says 78 there.
That's a high today.
It's a high?
Yeah.
Of 78 today?
That is correct.
I don't believe, say that again.
High of 78, low of 49. It's that low bit that I'm wearing this for.
It's a high of 78 today? Oh, wow. Okay.
Do you want to hear the rest?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, but okay. I'm still shocked by that.
Yeah. Well, it's right now it's currently 57 degrees downtown. It's going to be mostly clear all the way through Monday with a high of 78 today, a low of 49. Tomorrow we have a high of 77, a low of 49. On Sunday, a high of 77, a low of 49. And on Monday, a high of 76 and a low of 48.
Oh, my gosh. Spring is here. February the 2nd. Spring is here. Okay, I know everybody's going to tell me, hey, Carl, all the flowers are coming out just like they do every year. Daffodils are reaching for the sun. And next thing you know, week after next, boom, we get hit with an icy rain, kills everything. And then everybody goes, oh, winter's back. So, okay, hey, the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned and operated, a better known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Okay, a lot of stuff going on today, but the first thing and on Friday and always is the beautiful Amy. And today, she's either got a furry coat on or she's got a kitty.
I have a kitty today. By the way, first and most important thing on Friday is me. Everybody knows.
That's true. Yeah. It's Amy.
It's Amy.
It's Amy. You know what? The congressman will call in, but as long as he doesn't call in, dude. Well, can you call in at 7? I said, no, we have Amy on.
No, Amy's
7.
Here. That's sir, right. Back up. Okay?
Back off, yeah.
Back off.
Step off. Yeah. Get back on the train.
Exactly. So I have a little kitty in my lap. So I have a kitty named, aptly named Kitty Purry. So it's kind of a play on Katy Perry. So.
Oh, okay. I got it now.
Yeah, Kitty Purry is her name. She's a 3-month-old long hair cat. She kind of looks like she has perpetual bedhead, actually. It just kind of sticks out at every odd angle, and it's really long and fluffy, and she's adorable.
It's a cute kitty.
Yeah, and she came to Haven with her siblings, who actually don't have long hair. They're more short hair cats, but they are all big enough now to find their forever homes.
This is a cute cat.
Yeah, and it's not quite kitten season, so there's not a lot of kittens around.
Yeah.
Because kittens usually, typically, are born closer into the springtime. So, and speaking of kittens, we actually broke ground on our kitten nursery the other day.
Yeah, we talked about it with Mark was in here the other day. And, this is going to take another big step forward for y'all for being able to come to that no-kill shelter.
Yeah, and it is so exciting to see all the heavy equipment coming in and out and all the fun stuff. We get to watch them, from a patch of grass to an actual building. It's going to be really fun to, when you drive by vacant lots or places that used to be a vacant lot, and you tell your kids, I remember when that was just a field, and they look at you like you're old, that's what's going to happen with this one. I remember when there wasn't even a kitten nursery there.
I remember when there wasn't an adoption center there.
Yeah. It wasn't even, 6-7 years ago, it wasn't even that long. There was,
right.
Yeah, there was just
you're
the one building.
You're aging yourself, that gray in your hair.
Shh.
That Arctic blonde look.
So we're really excited about it, and we have a volunteer orientation tomorrow at 10 a.m. If you have any questions about wanting to volunteer for the kitten nursery, we're going to need a lot of volunteers. It's a 24-hour job, bottle feeding neonates is what we call them, little baby kittens, you know. So we definitely...
Neonatos. Are people testing you to make sure you're getting everything?
I was making sure it wasn't Mark, and it wasn't. So.
Yeah, okay.
No, he doesn't love me anymore. He hasn't been listening to me. He trusts me too much. I told him I'm going to have to say something really crazy on air one day, so he'll start listening again.
Yeah, because people will start calling in.
Yeah.
I understand they're giving away kittens free today.
Exactly. So, come on down to the orientation. It's a really fun time. A lot of our volunteers find such like great friendship in each other, and it's really inspiring. It's a lot of like-minded individuals that get to get together in groups.
It's a super way to meet other people.
It is, yeah.
And also to do something really cool. And
yeah.
If you like animals, you can help animals.
Right.
The volunteers are the backbone.
They really are. And it's such a win-win situation with the volunteers because they help them. It's a little bit of helping themselves, actually, because volunteering does reduce your chances of depression. And a lot of these people are retired and don't have... you know, a ton of other things to do. So this is something that they do, and it gives them motivation to keep going and get and come and walk the dogs every day or every other day.
Even if you're not depressed.
Even if you're not, no, but I'm just saying they did a recent study about how you can help yourself with depression or anxiety, and one of the first things that said was to volunteer, because if you can get out of your own bubble to help someone else, it'll
absolutely
end up making you feel good as well. So it's a win-win.
And it does. And animals will help ease tension, as we know. That's why that's why y'all take them over to Simpson to during finals
and pause. Yep.
The finals in Shasta College and all this. And so here's a good chance to do it. So it's going to be tomorrow tomorrow at
10 a.m. Yep.
Okay.
So come and. Check out what it's going to take to volunteer. It'll be a fun time.
And do not forget about this quick. It's very cute, sweet kitty we have here.
She is very cute and sweet.
Kitty Purry. And that's, you know what? And she's got, she's gray, but she has two white
little
rear paws.
And
one kind of left front.
Well, she's got some orange in there, too, just kind of streaked in.
It's, you know what? She's very fashionable.
Yeah.
And now she's just sitting there. She is just absolutely adorable.
Yeah, she's very cute.
You know what? I can see where people love kitties. You know, love the little kittens.
I love
And then as they get older, they become, their own little godlike presence where they do anything they want.
I get entitled. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, Amy, thank you so much. You know what? Thank you, Amy, for everything you do, too, because you do this. Yeah, it's a job, but it's not a job to you. It's a lot more than
exactly,
a job.
Yeah. It is.
Because you could work anywhere if you wanted to.
Right. And this is only about 20% of what I do. So.
Yeah. No, I know. Because you've got a lot out there. But you know what? You're a great person to be the face of Haven Humane out there when you're talking to people.
Well, thank you. Tell Mark that. Also,
he's listening.
Mention something about a raise. I don't know. That's up to you.
Hey, Mark, if she doesn't get at least a 10% raise, you could find kittens in your car at night.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Amy.
All right, have a good weekend, guys.
You too. Hey, Jared, 78 today. I mean, I wasn't ready for this. I thought it was going to be like in this.
Oh, I just have to add, the news said this morning that it was record-breaking for the next few days. They're like thinking that it's going to actually break a couple of records.
Well, you know what? I'd heard that they were talking about, they said low to mid-70s, but this earlier in a week. So when it's going up high like this, and here's the thing. Up at Mount Shasta, they have 10 inches at the on the runs up there. Well, I don't know how much they're going to have after a week, after a weekend like this. So
didn't they just open?
They just opened last Friday.
Yeah.
And when they had that rain and all this, but now, I hope that they've got, I hope that they can stay open because, the Mount Shasta, can you imagine? You put a lot of money into this because it was just, it was just newly purchased. And you put a lot of money in it to upgrade everything and all this. And last year they had all the snow, and then this year you get 78 degrees on the 2nd of February. And it's going to be like this through the weekend. But it doesn't mean you can't still go up there and ski. I've known people that come up and they've skied in their shorts. I know, is that weird? And they come back, they're skiing in shorts and T-shirts because there's still, there's snow, but it's nice and warm out there. Of course, I imagine reflection up there must be something. Okay, how do you get ready for the Super Bowl? Are you going to watch the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah.
How do you get ready for the Super Bowl?
Go to the store and buy junk food.
Okay, that's one way. The other way is you hop into your Sleep Number bed and you rest up before you get there. Okay? How could I tie that in there? It's easy because Sleep Number is offering a $52 coupon because this is the 52nd year of the Super Bowl. Can you believe that? Super Bowl has been going for 52 years. Did you watch the first one?
No.
I did. Yeah, I was like two. Okay, maybe I was a little bit older. But then it's 52 years. So if you go on to the site of Sleep Number, you can download a coupon that's good for $52 on anything in the Sleep Number store that's over $100. And Sleep Number, you think about the bed, you think about the comfort that we have. You know, Linda and I have had it for 4 years. We've never had a problem. We've never slept better. My Sleep Number setting is 60. And I can adjust that any way I want. Linda just moved her Sleep Number setting up to mine, to 60. So we're just kind of like, you know, that's really being a couple. When even your same Sleep Number setting is the same. So here's a chance to do something at the beginning of the year that's going to pay off for the rest of the year. And that's get a Sleep Number bed. Great prices on them. Use that $52 discount for other things. But you got to head on down to the Target Shopping Center. Go on into the Sleep Number store. Lay on the bed. Talk to the people there. You know, you might want to talk to them before you lay on the bed. But go in and tell them that we sent you, Carl and Linda sent you, and that this is a New Year's resolution that would be so easy to keep for the next 5 years. Sleep Number. All right, we'll be right back.
Here's your chance to save $4,000 off MSRP on the purchase of a new 2017 Nissan Rogue Sport at Crown Motors. The Nissan Rogue Sport has aggressive styling and quiet comfort. The impressive gas mileage will save you money with every mile. Get yours today for $4,000 off MSRP on every new Nissan Rogue Sport in stock at Crown Motors. They're equipped for comfort with advanced drive assist display, hill start assist, hands-free text messaging assistant, and more. 10 to choose from. Price plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document preparation charge, and any admission testing charge. The $4,000 off MSRP includes a $1,500 Crown discount, a $2,000 factory rebate, a $500 NMAC cash rebate when you finance through Nissan Motor Credit. Not all buyers will qualify. Offer ends February 28th. Come to Crown Motors Nissan on Cypress Avenue today for a test drive.
The Ten Tenors are coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium March 16th with their acclaimed show, Wish You Were Here, a celebration of legends featuring the music of David Bowie, Prince, Amy Winehouse, John Lennon, Michael Jackson, Freddie Mercury, Whitney Houston, and more. Fresh off their 20th anniversary world tour, the Ten Tenors return with their show, Wish You Were Here. With over 700 sold-out shows, 6 albums that have gone platinum and gold, it's the Ten Tenors. Don't miss your opportunity to experience this international singing sensation live at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Get your tickets for this soon-to-be-sold-out show, the Ten Tenors, March 16th. Go to readingcivic.com for your tickets today. Tickets are also available at the Civic box office or by calling 229-0022.
North State Security is Northern California's premier private security agency, and with over 125 security officers, we're prepared to serve you effectually in whatever your challenges may be. Regardless of what your immediate or constant disturbances may be, North State Security stands ready to respond around the clock, any and every day of the year. You've seen our marked security units around town day and night, driven by our best and trained to face modern challenges with courage and poise. With an average response time of 8 minutes from initial call to our arrival, many clients find peace of mind with our special response program providing immediate protection for their personnel and customers. Call North State Security Incorporated at 243-0295 for a free consultation
on the effectiveness of our services at the pinnacle of crime prevention.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is getting ready for the Go Red Luncheon today, hosted by Shasta Regional. It's, you know, a woman's luncheon that brings attention to breast cancer and other aspects of women and health. She's going. Sue McLean, our office manager in news extraordinaire, is going. Jennifer Valenzuela from our marketing department is going. Well, you know what? Jared is putting on his red T-shirt. He's going. Okay, Jared's not going. I was just kidding about that. Hey, but he was just asking me. He says, I got a couple of little dings. Get on there and talk to me about what you just said. Get a couple of little dings in your windshield.
Just a couple little starburst-looking breaks in my windshield.
What happens with those is, you know, once they start to crack, they don't stop. So this is a perfect time to take it down to Crackmaster Windshield Repair. He knows how to repair windshields. He's been in this business for a couple of decades. You know, he's been graduate of the schools of, the technical schools on the technology of how do you repair, truly repair a chip and then a crack in a windshield. He guarantees his work. Jeff Wurst, a veteran, that when he tells you it's going to that he can fix it, he fixes it. I have a 12-inch crack in my windshield from 10 years ago. Never got any bigger. It's down at the bottom, can't see it, and all because of Jeff. Jeff fixed it. I recommend you go down and you see Jeff Wurst at Crackmaster Windshield Repair. He can fix a crack in your windshield up to 2.5 feet in length. Think about that. So you got a little chip like Jared does, then go on down there and get it fixed before it gets worse. He's at 3208 South Market Street, or you call him at 241-8373, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Okay. I don't know whether to start with good news or bad news. How about we just start with good stuff, like the 31st Annual One Safe Place Crab Feed is taking place tomorrow night. Is it too late to get tickets? No. $50 per person or $600 for a table of eight. Maybe too late for that one. But the $50 per person is probably free. It's good. Free soft drinks for designated drivers. That's a good idea there. They have a bar going. You get clam chowder, salad, French bread, dessert, coffee, no-host beer, wine, soda, and margaritas. And guess what? You get all the crab you can eat. Now, you can get them at One Safe Place tickets or online at onesafeplaceshasta.org. And if you've not been there, you need to go there with about 800 or 900 of your closest friends. You ever been to a crab feed, Jared?
I have not, but I've always wanted to, and I never got around to it.
Next year, buddy. Next year, Free Fire Media Inc. is going to get a table at one of these. And we're going to bring all of you guys. I think we can take 8, maybe 10. We'll get a table, and we're going to go there, and we're going to just have a night of it. So next year, Sue, you're listening to this, I know. Sue, next year, we're all going to go to one of the crab feeds. I can't usually go to this one because we're out of town, but there's a couple others, the Sons of Italy and also the Anderson. Anderson one is a great one, too. So we'll get that all set up for next year. And then Free Fire Media will head on down there.
Sounds good.
All right. Let it be said. Let it be done. Chuck Norris. What's your favorite Chuck Norris joke?
Do you have any? I don't think I have any.
How about this one? That Chuck Norris, that the darkness, you know, darkness mm-hmm. has a nightlight, because it's afraid of Chuck Norris. How about that? You don't like that one? Anyway, Chuck Norris is suing CBS for $30 million because he says they owe him 23% of the profits that they made on the Walker Texas Ranger that he did in the 90s, and it's playing still today.
Yeah, I used to watch that when I was a kid.
It's still playing today, you know, in reruns and all this. He says they did not pay him. Sony and CBS did not pay him $30 million. Whoa. $30 million $1,000. Now, are you going to... And by the way, Congressman Lamoff is going to call in. We just don't know when he's going to call in today. Maybe it will be at the 8 o'clock hour. But he's, like I said, he's coming back today. So we're just kind of like keeping things open until there. So the thing of, okay, Super Bowl. They're really worried that the ratings are going to be down. Have you watched football this year?
As much Niners fan, and they didn't. I don't think they won a single game.
Well, they may have won two or three.
Oh, well, it's depressing. I didn't watch any.
Okay. Well, a lot of people didn't watch it because of the protest. Even though the protests were usually just, you know, a couple, two or three people, but it turned off. But then it got into this tweeting contest and all this, and so many of them sat down. And so it was, you know, it was a big thing. A lot of people stayed away from the games, stayed away from watching. My good friend Ted Leidy didn't watch a game all season long. This guy is a football fanatic. He is a football fanatic. Didn't watch him all year long. So he and his bride, Lisa and Linda, and I are going over to Reno. And we used to go over there to watch the Super Bowl because they had a big Super Bowl party at this one place we went to. Well, so it wasn't until the last minute. We haven't decided whether we're going to go or not. So we may not be able to get tickets, but we'll see. But they're really worried that all the people that are so mad that the Super Bowl ratings are just going to like plummet. And then they have to give back millions of dollars to the advertisers, who, by the way, are paying they're still paying top dollar for the Super Bowl to have their commercials in there. You know, commercials at the Super Bowl are great. Sometimes they're better than the games.
That's probably why I watch the game mostly.
But here's the big part: that the next day, it's called Super Bowl Sick Out. They followed it for the last decade, and they figure it's like 16 million people call in on Monday, and they're sick after the Super Bowl. I have a cough. I have a headache. And 25% in a poll said they think that the Monday after Super Bowl should be a national holiday. Can you believe that? I believe that.
I can go with that.
I would look, if you ever buy a new car, or, you know, or a car that's been built in the last decade, find out what day it's built on. And if it's built on that Monday after the Super Bowl, you may want to change that car into something else. Because half the line is going to be home from work because they have Super Bowl Monday sickness, which usually consists of 26 beers. Let's see what else. 26 beers, two or three Philly cheesesteaks, numerous burritos, and as you do, your Tostitos with dip. So when you think about it, that may be the day not to buy a car. Super Bowl. So, I don't know. There's also, but talking about Super Bowl from the other side of it, Signsations is offering a sign, a banner, a 3x5 banner or larger, that says "Stand, Please," with the American flag on it. Signsations, right here in town. I'll give you some more information on it. I put it on Facebook yesterday. And what it is just, you know, it's just a banner you can put up in front of your business or your yard. It just says "Please stand." And with the it's Scott's way of saying, you know what? There's a lot of us that really do care about our veterans and our flag. And this is just a way for people to make a statement. And like I said, he's not making any money off it. He's going to sell it at cost for everybody. So that's Signsations, and we'll give you a phone number and address after the break here. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask. What's with the end things?
End things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The end things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs, we do them. Vehicle wraps, we do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Sign staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Take away my inhibition. Take away my solitude. Fire me up with your resistance. Put me in the mood.
Is that secret? Yeah, like, he's got a great voice. Storm the walls. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott. Linda's getting ready for the Go Red Luncheon today, as the rest of the ladies are on our staff. We'll be heading down there. It's 27 minutes before the hour, 8 o'clock here on the 2nd of February, 2018. It's going up to 78 degrees today, my friends. I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt. I think I'm overdressed. Here it's like about 59 right now, but even that, when I was coming in today, was very comfortable. 78 degrees, and it's going to be like this over the weekend. We may be setting some records. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts to seniors and veterans and has payment plans. If you're taking a lot of fuel, then if it may be a little bit tough to pay all in one month, they have programs that they can spread that out over the year. A lot of things. Okay, you know, we were just talking about the Super Bowl and how that's working, and how many people are watching and all this. We have somebody calling, which would be
Coach Bob.
Coach Bob.
Good morning, Colonel Bott.
Good morning.
I just want you to know, and all you listeners, that I am I don't know if you knew this or not. I think you did. I'm self-employed. I am a company of one person. I don't have employees, but in the spirit of Trump's tax cuts and whatnot, I thought I would give myself a $1,000 bonus this week.
And did you?
Yep.
Well, what are you going to do with all that? Wait a minute. Those are just crumbs there, buddy.
Well.
You know, what about that corporation that you work for? They're taking the big bucks.
Oh, man. Why'd you have to bring that up? Yeah, you took all the wind out of my joy here.
Hey, you know what? I think that's a great idea. So what are you going to do with that $1,000?
probably buy a new piece of equipment or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go to a restaurant and eat a really nice meal. I don't know.
There you go.
Go to Reno, Las Vegas.
Yeah, run that $1,000 up into $100,000. Yeah, you know what?
You know,
I bet Las Vegas is just waiting for that.
No, I have to do like Hillary did, cattle futures.
Cattle futures. That's right. I remember that. Cattle
yeah,
futures.
Yeah, remember that.
Hey, so Coach Bob, you pay attention to a lot of things going on around here.
I do.
What do you think about this memo? The memo that they're going to release or not? You got the Democrats all saying that they cherry pick things to put in this memo. You got the Republicans saying, no, you know what? People need to see this. What happens under these FISA warrants and how it was used so inappropriately. You got the FBI actually releasing memos saying that the president, you know, would be wrong doing this. I mean, has it come to that point where it's now you got the FBI trying to cover itself?
Yep.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Really?
They are running scared. They've already let people go because of what's in it. They'll be letting more people go, I got a feeling. They, at the highest levels, are corrupt. And they are just doing the old FBI two-step, trying to get past all of this stuff. It's just nonsense. And much as I bittersweet say this, I hope it's damning. We need to shake it up. We need to cleanse it. And there's nothing about national security here. It's just about their own personal security.
I believe that. I believe that now they're trying to cover up mistakes that were made, and then they find out that the FBI, you know, we already know the IRS was politicized in the sense of going after people. Now we're finding out perhaps is that in the higher-ups echelons that the FBI, possibly, was doing their best to keep Trump out and get Clinton in there, including to the fact of saying after everything that Comey said, saying that no charges should be filed. You know, the whole thing is such a mess. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, well, I can't say on the air what it really is, but you know what I mean. You've been in the service.
Yep. I know what it is. Okay. Thank your employer for that $1,000 bump.
I am going to write him a personal thank you note.
Thanks a lot, Coach Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, you know what? That's a good idea. I should give a dollar bonus to our people. Okay, maybe more. All right. What do you think?
You're too generous.
Hey, I already bumped you up.
Yeah, I know.
Dollar
I
already.
That. I did
see that. Hey, Keith. Let's go. You know, well, let's just talk about that. Let's just talk a little bit about that. Will that memo be released? You know, Trump says, you know, they're talking about releasing the memo today. And the question is it going to be released? You've got the Democrats and everybody fighting this thing. Unbelievably fighting this thing. And is it because it's really damning, or have they taken this thing and said, you know what, this whole thing was based on a paid hit piece from that the Democratic Party paid these guys to do, and which I think that has been proven that they paid these guys to do this story on Trump, paid for by the Democratic National Committee. It was taken by the FBI, who used this as a reason to get a warrant to go after people in the Trump campaign. I believe that's the way that, you know, it's being outlined. So did this happen? And if so, then this means is that people have at the top politicized this to the point of going after a candidate for the presidency of the United States. I mean, things are nasty and mean and in politics anyway. But when you get the government involved in such a way like this, where they're taking sides, and like the IRS proven to do, that was going after conservative groups. They were going looking for their 501s, like everybody, you know, like liberals, you know, like liberal groups, conservative groups, you know, all these nonprofit groups are going in, and they targeted them for them not to get the 501, specifically because they were a conservative group, and they've proved that, and yet nothing's happened. I think that the people, when you know, Trump said drain the swamp. I don't know how that draining's going on, because when you get into a place like that and you're surrounded by crocs and snakes, maybe harder to drain it than you thought. But But this part leaves me a great deal of unease in the sense that they, you know, that it was a group of people that purposely used government methods to try and keep somebody out of there, out of the office. I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of a little Pollyannish here, thinking, you know, maybe it's been going on a long time. Moving on. Okay, I'm going to try this. Poxitani Phil, the groundhog, saw a shadow, 6 more weeks of winter. Now, do you know who Poxitani Phil is? The groundhog?
Yeah, I've seen Groundhog
Did you know that they're saying this is the same groundhog they've used for 115 years, that Poxitani Phil is immortal?
Yeah, I don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
No.
Just because that would have been meant he lived 15 times more longer, 15 times longer than any other groundhog in recorded history. So you're saying is that the guys, the inner circle of Poxitani Phil, who are called the ground masters or something, groundhog masters or the Phil masters, whatever, are you saying that they may have stretched the truth there?
Perhaps, because I just looked this up, and it says a groundhog's lifespan is 6 to 8 years.
There you go. But they're saying this is the same one because they give him Poxitani Phil elixir to keep him alive. So here's a little known facts about Poxitani Phil. And when they say that he's never been wrong, that winter has lasted for 6 weeks more. And some people will point out that, well, you know, that's not true. And they said, no, we didn't say where 6 weeks of winter was going to be. So it could be in Norway. All right.
That's quite the loophole,
but Poxitani Phil has never been wrong. And then, of course, the very best movie ever made about Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah. with
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. Have you seen this?
Oh, I own it. I've seen it probably 100 times.
Well, it's kind of like Groundhog Day, huh?
Yeah.
Somebody brought it over when we were in deployed once into Sarajevo. And because every day had a tendency to be like the last to play it, Groundhog Day. That was a big thing. Great movie. So can you to this day hear that movie? Hear that song by Sonny and Cher?
Oh yeah, I Got You, Babe.
I Got You, Babe. Can you ever hear it and not be thinking of Groundhog Day?
No.
Okay. Now here's a question: how long was the sequence? How long did this go on?
They say it could have gone for like I've read different. Varying opinions that it could have been like 20, 30 years.
The director said he was looking at it was like a 40 to 50 year.
Oh yeah.
Day, because the guy learned piano, he learned all these things. He said you're right though, that was supposed to have gone on for years until of course he found humility and true love, and then went back. Do you ever wish you were in Groundhog Day, or do you ever feel like that?
I might feel like it, but I sure as heck don't wish it.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, we're here with Keith Houston, and we're going to get to Keith here in a couple minutes right after we take this break. Another thought here, though, is when you look at the something that happened yesterday was a disabled veteran and his quadriplegic wife were evicted from their home right here in Reading. The sheriff deputies came down. I mean, they're in a tough position. They have to do it. They have to do the eviction. The next door neighbor, an 80-year-old lady, tried to keep stand between the deputy and the house, and he got past her. But he was not rude. But they have a job to do. Okay, so this is not on the deputies. But it appears that this guy had to fill out some paperwork. He was getting assistance. One of those assisted housing programs. And he thought till October to do it. Well, the city sent out a letter that said they needed an answer in 10 days. Well, he didn't see that part. He thought he had till October. Well, he didn't turn it in. Well, he didn't get it on time, so they lost that housing supplement. When he lost the housing supplement, this guy's a retired Navy veteran of the Navy, but he was an air traffic controller. And the air traffic controller, he had a good retirement. He had savings, but then his wife had a stroke or an aneurysm, and she became a quadriplegic, and they just burnt through all that. So he doesn't have a lot of money, but he takes care of his wife, and that includes, like, every one of her meals has to be made in a blender. so she can eat it. Well, he fell behind in his payments. Well, when all this came out, Mayor Kristen Schrader said, well, we're going to step in here and see, you know, we're going to try and help. Well, there's something wrong when the mayor of a city and the city and the people around there couldn't stop that. They couldn't say, you know what, why do we have it by 10 days anyway? Was this an arbitrary form and all that? The company, I think it's Knox, well, I'm not going to say what because I'm not sure, said that they tried to reach the guy over and over again. They said all they want is somebody just, you know, if somebody wants to guarantee the fact that they'll get their money, there's no problem. They'll let them stay in there. Well, they couldn't, in the last few days, they couldn't get that guarantee. Anyway, so this guy is, this man and his wife, the quadriplegic, are living next door with the woman that tried to step in between the sheriff, the 80-year-old. And they're looking for a place to stay, but they're also looking to get the paperwork done. I would hope that the city would help them with that. But I just find this, so disheartening that something like this, that there couldn't be a way to, you know, to back the people off at the house. And, you know, we raise millions of dollars for dogs and cats and birds. And what else? All types of things, and we can't come up with $4,000. And I'm not blaming or me. I mean, because I didn't give any money, so I'm not blaming people for that. But it just seems like when something like this happens, there ought to be some kind of a process that gives that extra time or has something that happens. If the mayor of the city can't get the city off its butt to do something, then there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here in the way the system works. Okay, just that thought. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back after these messages with our man on the street, Keith Houston Jr. Hi, Mom.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right of way. Or really. Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Gervan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Redding community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. It's 10 minutes before the hour, 8 o'clock. 59 degrees going up to 78 today. That's right, 78 degrees. And this is a portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. 78. Give them a call at 221-2642 to check your air conditioner out because it's going to be warm out there. You can have the heater on in the morning, air conditioner on in the afternoon. That's right. You know what? Alliance Heating and Air, over in the business, over a quarter of a century of veteran-owned business, voted best in the North State. They don't get any better. This is who we have come out to our house. We have any problems at all, or just to come out and do their every 6 months. We have a checkup on our systems. They clean the filters. They do all those things, all of that. Yeah, Alliance Heating and Air. Check them out at homecomfort.org or give them a call at 221-2642. Okay, Keith Houston is here. He's got Man on the Street, and the question is?
Should the football field be a place for making political statements?
There you go. Okay, let's start.
All right. The NFL refused to play an ad by veterans that sent a message to NFL players stating, please stand. For the past couple of years, there has been an issue between the players not standing for the flag due to social injustices. Should the football field be a place for making political statements?
I think it should, for the reason that it's the biggest stage for these players to get their word across. And with them being such big people in people's lives, it makes a difference. And I don't necessarily think they're not standing either for the not for the national anthem because they don't respect veterans. Mm-hmm. I think it's more because of social issues and what's going on with police force and how they don't feel like there's a basically an equality between everyone. So I think it is. I think people are viewing it in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's definitely a place to start.
Okay. Who do you have winning the Super Bowl?
The Eagles.
For sure. All right. Nice talking with you.
Nice talking with you too.
NFL refused to play an ad by veterans that sent a message to the NFL players stating, please stand. For the past couple of years, there has been an issue between the players not standing for the flag due to social injustices.
Mm-hmm.
Should the football field be a place for making political statements?
No.
No? Why do you believe that?
Well, there's a difference between exercising your free speech and doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
When I do my job, I don't exercise my free speech.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when the football players are doing their job, which is playing football, mm-hmm. they shouldn't be exercising their free speech either. The minute they step off, the game's over, they can say whatever they want. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can go out there, they can hold press conferences. I'm all for that. But when they're doing the job, they need to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And conflating two different things together is not a good way to handle anything. All that does is alienate all the people who just wanted to watch some football.
Honestly, yes. I feel that they should stand and put their hand, you know, on their heart
mm-hmm.
for respect out of our veterans. Because they did serve for their lives and they wouldn't be playing if it weren't for them.
Should the football field be a place for making political statements?
For me, like, I'm not really a good politics person or I don't really pay attention to politics. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter to me.
I feel strongly either way.
No. I think that the football field is a place where they should be playing the game and they should be worried about the game. They shouldn't express their political statements on the field, because I think that if they have a particular feeling about government corruption, they should just take it to social media or the news, where political statements should be expressed and are encouraged to be expressed. The field is for the game of football, not expressing one's feelings or beliefs.
I mean, I don't really see a problem with players wanting to kneel during the national anthem, but I feel like putting an ad that says please stand is a whole nother level of a political statement. So I guess I'm kind of divided on that.
Okay. Wow. All right. So you had all the different thoughts on that.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Were people, but you know, it was the their responses were well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one girl says, "Yeah, I think it's okay to kneel, but I'm not too sure about the please stand."
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of torn on that one. So I'm not sure about that. You know, because they're both making a statement.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the one guy that says, the one you hear the most is, hey, look, I'm on the job. If I express my political beliefs on the job, I could lose my job, or my boss is going to say, we're going to have you go work in another room where you're not talking to people, because frankly, you know, if you're a stock market guy, and you're giving your political beliefs while you're same time you're trying to sell a stock to somebody, mm-hmm. and that's going to impact on you. However, Jared?
I was just going to say, how many other jobs require you to stand for a national anthem?
Well, that's a good point, except that was the agreement, though, that they made, that they were going to stand for the national anthem. And so the fact that they're not, but they have not enforced that. So if I had a rule that said, no beards. All right. You know, of course, I would never do that. But if I said no beard.
I've worked at places like that before.
Yeah, but you're right. You've worked at places like that. And then you started to grow a beard. Well, now there's two things I can do. I can ignore it, or three things. I can ignore it. I can fire you after counseling you, fire you. Or three, change the rule. So.
Yeah.
And some people are, you know what, I think that. I mean, I spent 30 plus years. Your dad's been he's a retired Navy veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't take this as quite as seriously as some other people because people do have a right to do that.
Yeah.
As long as they understand what this means when you kneel, the impact it can have on people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I kind of resonated with the second guy. I know, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like you have, you know, the right to free speech and everything. But, you know, there are some places where, you know, you don't have to, or you can make, you know, that political statement, you can send your message without having to bring it into work. I feel like as an athlete, or as, you know, someone whose platform is so big, like NFL players or yeah. NBA players in general, you know, you could.
They've got a huge platform. Yeah.
Yeah, you could take it, you know, to the media, or you could take it to social media. I feel like bringing it into work, it's some, you know, in some sense, you know, distracts, you know, everyone around you.
I think it how can it not distract, you know, sometimes? Because it's probably causing some kind of friction on the team somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because not everybody believes.
Exactly.
But some people really believe. And then what happens after that? But okay, did you ask everybody besides the first guy who's going to win the Super Bowl, or just him?
Yeah, he's the only one I actually got it on recording. Everybody else was saying, "Yeah, Patriots, Patriots,
Patriots." Okay, you know. Now what do you think? What are you looking at?
I actually want the Patriots to win only because I don't want the Eagles to win without Carson Wentz. I'd rather them win with Carson Wentz than without Carson Wentz
But this quarterback they got, this kid that came up, you know, I just saw him today. He said he could have either been a preacher in a church,
mm-hmm.
or he could have played football with the Eagles, and he was fine with either one.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize he was a religious guy. But, yeah, you know, my kids and grandkids are Eagle fanatics.
Oh yeah.
I mean, total. I mean, they all have the jerseys on. My granddaughter's got photo, you know, a big, you know, Eagle thing, you know, in her room, and all these, you know, And, of course, they're for the Eagles. Mm. While mom and dad are for the Patriots. Because I like any guy that's getting older and can still put it out there like that. Like Tom.
Yeah, Tom Brady's the GOAT.
Well, you know what, Keith? Every time it just gets better. So I can't wait to hear what next week's going to be.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much, and Miss Houston. I mean, he's just doing great. Have you noticed this? I'm sure she has. We're saying that because Keith's mom's listening via our streaming ability here. So have a great weekend. Where are you going to go watch the game at? Or are you going
to
watch it?
Yeah, I'll watch the game. I'm going to go to Humboldt this weekend, hang out with
your girlfriend.
Yes, sir.
I love it. So, you be careful on that road, okay?
Will do.
And we'll see you next week. In fact, everybody, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after the news.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Well, I'm going to have to get someone.
As the father of three of Larry Nassar's abuse victims tried to attack the disgraced former sports doctor, the man lunged at Nassar, although he was quickly tackled by court bailiffs. Two of his daughters had given victim impact statements earlier at that court hearing. President Trump giving the go-ahead for the release of a classified GOP congressional memo. It's critical of the FBI.
According to White House officials, the president has cleared the way for the publication of the memo over the strong objections of his own Justice Department. The Republican document is said to show improper use of surveillance by the FBI in the Russia investigation. Democrats and Justice Department officials lobbied the White House this week to stop the release, arguing it could harm national security and mislead the public. Greg Clugston, Washington.
More jobs, higher wages last month. The bottom line of the government's latest employment report, employers adding a robust 200,000 jobs.
January's job gains kept the unemployment rate at a low 4.1%. PNC Financial Services Group Chief Economist Gus Fauché says that's good news for workers.
I think what we will see is that as the unemployment rate remains low, that wage growth, which did pick up in January, will continue to pick up in 2018.
Wages rose at the fastest pace in more than 8 years, up 2.9% compared with last January. Weak wage growth has been one of the economy's most persistent shortcomings for nearly a decade. But with fewer workers to hire, employers are being forced to raise pay. I'm Ben Thomas.
Wall Street being gripped by a big sell-off this morning. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down just a bit shy of 300 points, trading at 25,896. The NASDAQ Composite Index off 60 points, and the S&P is down 25. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you work with soaps, chemicals, dirt, grease, or grime, or even paint, cement, and fertilizers, chances are you have dry skin. Give your body the protection it deserves. Gloves in the Bottle is a unique shielding and dry skin care lotion that keeps the good stuff in and the bad stuff out.
Now available at local pharmacies and selected hardware stores, or shop at glovesinabottle.com and use code SALEM to get 15% off on your entire purchase.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bill, so I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
They were able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off $15,000 in 18 months. It's a godsend.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
The exiled former president of the Maldives says the government must abide by a Supreme Court ruling to free a group of political prisoners hours after clashes erupted in the capital in the aftermath of that surprise verdict.
The former president Mohamed Nasheed, a charismatic campaigner against climate change, was convicted in 2015 on a terrorism charge and sentenced to 13 years. On Thursday, the Supreme Court ruled that the trial had been politically motivated. It also annulled the expulsion of 12 legislators, handing the opposition a parliamentary majority. A spokesman for President Abdullah Yameen said the court had not heard the government out. An opposition spokesman vowed to continue protests until the ruling was enforced.
That's the BBC's Sanjay Desgupta. The oldest son of late Cuban dictator Fidel Castro killed himself today after months of treatment for depression. That's according to Cuban state media. Fidel Castro Diaz-Balart was 68 years old. News and analysis at townhall.com. A Wisconsin girl who admitted stabbing a classmate to appease a fictional horror character, sentenced to 40 years in a mental hospital.
Morgan Geiser is now 15 years old. She apologized to the victim in court before Judge Michael Boren announced she was getting the maximum sentence.
40 years to a 15-year-old. What a long time that is.
But the judge says her ongoing mental health problems make Geiser a danger to herself and the community.
This is an issue of community protection. This is an issue to be sure there's no recidivism.
A co-defendant was sentenced to 25 years in a mental hospital. Both girls admitted in 2014 they lured a classmate into a wooded area and stabbed her 19 times in the name of the fictional character Slender Man. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Oregon's top federal prosecutor worried about a marijuana surplus that he says is fueling a black market in other states, and that's feeding crime, he says. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 5.5 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock here on the 2nd of February. The news, as usual, is brought to us by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Newly remodeled. Same great walk-in humidor, same great service from the people there. We have Susan Eastman on the phone. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Well, stocks are down sharply this morning with technology and energy, the worst-performing sectors. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 307 points at 25,879. The S&P 500 is off 22 points at 2,799, and the NASDAQ Composite losing 64 points at 7,321. Active stocks on the NASDAQ, Apple down $3.90 at $163.85. Micron Technology down 83 cents, trading at $41.66. Microsoft off $1.02 at $93.19 per share. For local stocks of interest, PepsiCo down 57 cents at $119.73. Verizon off 31 cents, trading at $54.01. UPS down 228 at $117.19. In the bond department, the 10-year is up 5 basis points to a 4-year high of 2.84%. And over to commodities, gold is down $16.10 an ounce at $1,331. Silver off a penny at $17.24 per ounce. Crude oil down $1.12, trading at $64 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Susan Eastman, are you getting ready for the weekend?
I'm going to be biking by my bicycle. It's going to be like summer days out there. What is with this weather?
78 today. 78. It's going to be like this, maybe new records over the weekend. If you get stuck inside, you're crazy.
I know. Don't do housework. Get outside.
Get outside. Okay, Susan.
Right. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. That's Susan Eastman. She's the first vice president of investments for Wells Fargo Advisors. They're located at 2705 Park Marina Drive right here in Redding, California. And you can get a hold of her at 530-243-7561. Susan Eastman. Hey, buddy, we just talked about the weather. What's it look like for this week?
Well, it's currently 60 degrees. It's going to be mostly clear throughout Monday. Today we have a high of 78, a low of 49. On Saturday, we have a high of 77 and a low of 49. Sunday, the same. And Monday, a high of 76 and a low of 48.
Gee. What's it going to be Monday?
A high of 76.
Okay. Hey, the weather report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson, owned by Chuck and Judy Kenny. Have done so much for our community in so many different ways. If you were fortunate enough to hear earlier this week interview with Chuck Kenny from there. Vietnam veteran, helicopter pilot, been married his sweetheart at age 20, and they've been married, of course, all these years. Started Shasta Gas Propane, I think, like 17 years ago. Has expanded that, a great deal, plus added Shasta tanks. And when he did that, he's been hiring veterans and won an award from the state of California for that, for hiring veterans. He, besides doing all these things, he's on his way to Nepal later on in this year to help with the, meeting the people and helping people fight sex trafficking trafficking that's going on in Nepal. And this is Shasta Gas Propane. And they also give discounts for seniors and veterans, 365-3793. You know what? I know all the people that we know we do these live reads for, and I know them. North State Security, Lance Beck, and Bill and Dana over at SST Oil, Cornerstone Bank, of course, all these people. We get to know them. And you just can't help but think how much or realize how much they do for our community. In a lot of different ways, but the ways that people never know about, because these people don't beat the drums. They don't, they don't say, "Oh, look what I did! Look what I did!" And they're veterans, and they a lot of them are veteran-owned businesses that work really hard. You talk about Alliance and Crackmaster on things like this. There's people that provide so much for the community, tobacco and brew. Four Winds Jewelry. You know, everything that time we read something, that they've done something for our community. In a lot of different ways. Okay. Looks like we're going to go open mic because we still haven't gotten a hold of Congressman LaMalfa, but he's on his way back from the West Virginia meeting, and they weren't sure how they were going, and that the cell sites were having a lot of, they may have had problems with the cell sites, but I was talking to his people late yesterday afternoon, and they were still planning on having this happen. So we're going to have to just kind of hope that he gets on the phone to us. We can ask him a number of things, mainly stuff about the State of the Union, the memo, what he knows about that, and the what's happening here on it's going to be happening on this infrastructure. I'm sure they discussed all of those, the infrastructure. Okay, so like I said, we have open line right now. I guess the best thing we could start talking about is, again, about the economy. The economy. Trump pounded on that during his State of the Union. In fact, you know what, Jared, did you hear the State of the Union? In fact, you were listening to
it. Yeah, I did.
Because you texted me about Preston Sharp being there. And by the way, we're trying to get Preston on the show here to give us talk to us about what he thought and what it was like. State of the Union, you're somewhat of a different political viewpoint than I am. Did you see anything positive out of this? See, we love to get people on with different viewpoints, but did you see anything positive out of this?
I got to be honest, I didn't watch the entire thing.
Okay, but must watch some of it?
Well, I was cooking dinner and I was listening to it.
Okay.
I didn't catch everything, but the Redding, California caught my ear.
You got that one. Okay, yeah. So you were there for that. So what'd you think of Melania's outfit?
I didn't pay attention. I was just looking at Preston and his mom.
Preston and his mom, because you know them.
I know they were sitting right next to her. Yeah. But.
Okay, well, they were there. Okay, well, let's go on from that. There's, this author that wrote this this movie or this book called Fire and Ice about Trump and the Trump White House and the Trump election that has reached so many different people with so many. I assume that this is. Good morning, Congressman LaMalfa.
How are you doing?
I was just dancing around here. I said I knew that your Parker told me, he said you may be on the way back, and they weren't sure about you being able to call because of cell coverage and all that.
Yeah, it's we'll see how good it goes here, but it is a 4-lane freeway, between West Virginia and Virginia here. So it's pretty spectacular. They've had a little dusting of snow here, and it's really nice here. This is 70% Trump country up here,
Well, every time he mentions the word coal, it goes up 2 more points.
Beautiful coal, he called it the other night.
Yeah,
the State of Union.
He did. Hey, are you surrounded by other representatives? All of you riding like in a bus or something?
No, there's just a couple of us in this vehicle.
Oh, okay. I was thinking when Parker said, "Yeah, they may be coming back by bus or something." I'm thinking, "Oh, wow." You got what 35, 40 representatives in a bus riding the bus. I mean, do y'all sing songs and all those kind of things?
It's funny. We did when we came in across the West Virginia line, about four of us decided we needed to drink sing the John Denver song. So,
drink the John Denver song. That's okay. That's okay, Congressman. I got it. Hey,
no, as it related, there wasn't any moonshine going around. That was a slip of the tongue.
Hey,
anyway,
this wreck.
So, everybody broke into the country roads.
Yeah. Hey, that wreck that happened, the train hitting that hitting the truck on the tracks there.
Yes, sir.
That must have been. I mean, you read about these things, but how was that?
Well, for me personally, I was in my seat. You know, several people. You get up and move around. You go to the cafe, car, or whatever. Get a cup of coffee or sandwich or whatever. And I would happen to be seated, so my whole reaction to it was the train was going. I didn't feel any slowing, like maybe the engineer saw something was slowing down, so it had to be pretty sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, it was a big bam, and my knees kind of bashed into the seat in front of me there, and trains slowed down and stopped pretty quick. So, you know, obviously you're wondering what the heck's going on. It didn't seem like an ordinary heartbreaking. And so in just a few seconds, I noticed we were passing a road crossing, and with the arm was down on the crossing there. And then at the same instant, I saw a whole bunch of dust flying. So it occurred to me we probably hit something at that crossing. And the wreck part was happening on the left side of the train. I was sitting on the right. So as things stabilized, I was able to get over the windows and look backwards where it happened behind us. And you saw just a whole debris field of the trash that was in the truck, and the box that was in the truck was completely dislodged and knocked about 100 yards from where the chassis and the cab of the truck was. That part stopped pretty, you know, within 10 yards of where the crossing was or so.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people were, they talked about how many doctors were on board the train. How many?
Yeah, there was at least eight people that were some type of doctor or another on here, including one of them who was, he was a field medic in the military too, Dr. Brad Wenstrup. You know, he served in the war, and he was on the baseball field when the shots were going off in June, and he was one of the first ones out there when they got the shooting stopped there to go help our House Whip, Steve Scalise. He saved his life, you know, by, you know, getting the bleeding stabilized, and, mm-hmm. and now he's helped save the life of the, you know, there was three personnel in that garbage truck. The driver, my understanding, was able to get out and walk off once he collected himself. The other two, one was dead almost instantly there. They worked on him a little bit on the ground, some of the doctors did. And then I think what I'm guessing would be the middle passenger, they did a lot of work on to open up his airway, and I think they probably saved his life on the spot from bleeding and not breathing, too, until the other paramedics could get there. So
mm-hmm.
pretty amazing stuff.
Well, it's you know, it's so unfortunate that the you know, for the people in that truck, but I'm glad nobody was injured on the train there.
Yeah, people just knocked about a little bit. One of my friends there, his shoulder's a little sore, and one staffer and one house member they took to the hospital once things got stabilized for precautionary X-ray on their neck area, and I think so. Mm-hmm. But I heard everybody on board's fine, even the engineers, my understanding.
Yeah, he walked away too.
About, but they're fine too. So I don't know.
Hey, okay, Congressman, I don't know how long you can stay with us, but there's like two or three things I really would like to address, and then I know.
Let me give you just a little more background on that. Thing I heard last night was that the only trains that typically use that track a lot aren't Amtrak trains, but coal trains.
Okay.
So what the rumor was, I will confirm later, but they're used to the coal trains really being really long and really slow, so it seems to be frequent practice to jump across the crossing. Because they know they're going to be there a long time. The train moves slow.
Okay.
So I think the driver in this case was surprised it was a more swift moving passenger train. But yeah, go ahead.
Because I was wondering, because I always thought, being from the country back there, that a lot of times they don't have arms across the.
There's plenty of arms. It's really modern around here. They got nice freeways and stuff. It isn't, you know, going to this resort, I was thinking maybe a back lane.
Yeah,
two-lane road or something like that. But no,
it's not, huh? Okay. Okay.
Nicer than California roads, I got to tell you that, with them taxiing everybody to death in Sacramento. They got it nicer here.
Okay, that's part two of the question. But the State of the Union, first of all, you were front and center there as the president came down. And everybody's going, hey, there's Doug.
I invited him to come back to NorCal. He said we'll be there. So.
Well, you know, he got a good reception when he was here when he flew in that time.
Absolutely. He remembers it.
There, you know, of course, Preston Sharp has become the darling of America, as he should. Hello?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Preston Sharp, when he's been in the news and everything since that moment.
Yeah, his family came by the office the day before. Yeah.
What did you think of the speech itself?
Of which?
What did you think of the State of the Union speech?
I thought it was very inspiring, very America, very. I don't know what you would disagree with, unless it's a political bent you're on. I mean, I see the Democrats have all staked out a position on open borders and non-accountable immigration. I don't really call it immigration. I call it something closer to the term like invasion, but they don't care about any responsibility on that, it seems. And, everybody's trying to have a constructive DACA immigration border discussion here. So the president came out with a pretty, he called it a compromise move. And, some of us are, be quite honest, gnashing our teeth about the size of the numbers of people he threw out in the proposal of, giving the legal status to. So, but, it's a negotiation, basically the four pillars. And hey, I got some sympathy for some of the young folks that are caught in the DACA thing. But, it's the number we got to work with. We got to really see what all is contained in the draft of that, of what his intentions are, because the other pillars of it, as you mentioned, are all very sound. Do I still have you?
Oh yeah, we're still here, just listening.
Okay.
I tell you, the looks on the faces, I wish that, the things about Nancy Pelosi, the memes that have come out about Nancy Pelosi are just hilarious. Anything from her polygen has slipped to, it looks like she's kissed a squirrel's butt or, something like that. I mean, her whole demeanor through the whole speech was. I mean, it was hilarious.
Well, yeah, it did look like she had a whole mouthful of polygrip the way she was keeping it closed there. But, they must have really huddled up and said, we are showing no enthusiasm. And, a couple Dems did, like Senator Joe Manchin of right here in West Virginia.
Yeah.
He tends to run moderate and doesn't do everything they want to do all the time. And that's the state he's from. He can't act the way they do. But he was sitting on the same row about four or five seats down from Chuck Schumer. And there's, if you look around for it, you'll see a video of him starting. He kind of, rocked forward there to stand up and applaud. And you can see Chuck turns his head looking down at him. And Joe Manchin settled right back into his seat because he was getting the stink eye from Chuck.
That's what's
going on there, man.
I not only saw that, I shared that on Facebook because it was so funny because he was starting to get up and go, yeah, and then he went, and dropped right back down. It was frankly, it's kind of sad in a way because there were things that that President Trump said that was good for America, and I just don't understand. Did the Republicans...
Nonpartisan. I actually talked to Joe Manchin for a second on the way in. I invited him, hey, come sit with us, because he's actually... on a conservative scale, probably more conservative than Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. Did the Republicans do the same thing with Obama?
Not to that degree. I mean, if polite applause for things that are pro-America, pro-the individual, like the people he would honor up there, you're always going to be polite, even if it's a disagreed thing, like if he's got, But you always honor the military, the veterans, the law enforcement, the people that have done heroic things. And, people like Preston Sharp there who's doing this thing as a young man. And so our side didn't do it to that extent. Yeah, you might say, well, Joe Wilson yelled out, you lie one time. Well, that's, and Joe felt as bad about it as anybody ever after. He's a South Carolina true gentleman. I think he just boiled over, but, but I think if I could be impartial on it, our side isn't nearly as nasty. Obama was standing up there talking about some socialized program. We're not going to stand up and applaud that. We're gonna sit still.
Yeah. The I just found, you know, 72% of the people like that speech. That must make Democrats really get a little antsy when they hear things like that.
Well, they've staked out a position since the day after the election when they were shocked of being all resist, all opposed, the whole thing. And they're, it isn't just opposing policy, they're making it very personal. And at least, you know, the Corleones and the Founding Father movies, they'd always say, it's just business, it's not personal. And they've gone way beyond the business of policy here. And they're gambling that is going to help them to get them, you know, get majorities in 2018 and maybe take the White House in 2020. And the people are putting up as their standard bearers seem to be Kamala Harris and Cory Booker and Elizabeth Warren. These people are irresponsible and you know, they're play acting in these committees to the camera. They're not even talking to the person, you know, whether it's a confirmation or somebody providing information from the administration, like Kirstjen Nielsen of Home Security or Homeland Security. They're talking past her or others to the camera, and it's really pathetic. That Cory Booker thing was just, I was just shaking my head at that one the other day.
Which one was this? You know, there's so many of them, but which specific one was this?
It's been about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. He was Kirstjen Nielsen, who's a very classy, informative, you know, common sense thinking lady. She's Department of Homeland Security head.
Right.
She's the blonde lady there that you've seen in the news.
Sure.
And she was providing just sensible, straight answers, and he had to cut out and do an old diatribe, again, mugging for the cameras on how he had tears of rage over the way she answered a question. She didn't know if she recalled or actually heard President say that expletive thing that it turns out Dirtbag Dick Durbin made up, I think, about him saying, you know, calling certain countries a pretty bad word, you know. But, you know, I mean, honestly, on that word, I mean, that's pretty common words for people that you know in your community when they talk about places that have super rookies in the streets and lousy governments that take advantage of their people. I mean, and, you know, anyway, so. It's just a play acting. So I don't know what the Democrats, how they think their strategy is working very well, because we see tax reform in the few weeks that has come into place here. And now, you know, February 1, and people starting to see their paychecks under the new schedule with more money in them, by and large, you know, a lot of it. And all the other stuff you're seeing in the news. And so that's actually playing out. You know, Nancy Pelosi called it Armageddon. And she called it, we're going to give crumbs. They're giving crumbs to people. Well, $1,000 bonus to most people I know is real money. And so they continue to insult people by calling that crumbs or calling them deplorables or, you know, all that stuff. So why would people continue to believe them that are, you know, somewhere on the middle ground or lean to the right? I don't know why they would even listen.
I think that, you know, the fact is that what I liked about the Trump speech was I really did think he tried to open up. Yeah, that 1.8 million in the immigration, that was like a million more than was listed. But talking about the next big, you know, the next big bipartisan question of infrastructure. Did you all discuss infrastructure in your meeting there in West Virginia?
Yeah, that's a pretty big piece of the 2018 agenda. You know, the president wants it. All of us want it, you know, and it has a lot more bipartisan support or what have you than a lot of issues do. I mean, they don't really want to fund the military. You know, Carl, we try really hard to get the military funded properly and with some time predictability. We put it, you know, we have the continuing resolution and we attach the actual military spending appropriation bill, which it has, and sometimes it's a one-year term. Sometimes we really need a two-year term on that. And, you know, let me jump over to yesterday morning's first meeting. We had Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and our superhero Secretary Mattis. And Mattis, you know, I mean, he's got the reputation of the mad dog thing, right? And he'll say he's got these great quotes that, you know, tough guys like, but also he's very thoughtful and very articulate on what he needs and what needs to be done, and we're and dovetailing very well with the Secretary of State, who has to do things diplomatically. But it was a good pair up there. That was the best part of the conference, was those two yesterday morning. And, you know, Secretary Mattis just told us, look, here's the number I need. I need this amount this year, and I need this a slightly bigger amount next year, and then we think we can stabilize through savings and efficiencies. And he promised an audit, too. He said, you guys, we owe you one. You've been promised an audit for a lot of years of all military operations. We're going to do one. So, you know, because people are worried about the dollars, obviously. But I got great confidence listening to those two yesterday morning, and I will do everything I can to make sure he gets his number.
Well, you know, when you talk about Mattis, we had a young lady in here the other day that's involved out of Chico, that's involved in helping veterans, and she was a Marine, and Mattis, she was on Mattis's staff. And Mattis promoted her to sergeant, and she says, and she, you know what, emotionally, she said, he's a Marine God. This is the term she used. He's a Marine God. And she talked about how much the men and women of the Marine Corps admire and respect this guy, because he never asked him to do anything he wouldn't do himself. He's always out there caring for his people, and that, you know, and he is a man of honor and integrity. Now, this is from a young lady who was a sergeant under, you know, in his command. So you can imagine, you know, when you say things, you know, people, yeah, he is a tough guy. He is a tough guy, but he is also he's very much an intellectual kind of guy, too.
He's a man of his personnel, too, as you said. That, yeah. You know, so he cares about his people, and he doesn't want to see anything unnecessary happen to harm them, other than what would happen in the unwanted, you know, what has to happen in war.
In war,
it's absolutely necessary.
That's just
the appalling thing he brought up. Said, you know, our readiness, our state of repair in the military across the board, was that he gave a stat yesterday. He said 23 of our military personnel were killed in hostile actions last year, that you would, I guess, you know, expect, right?
Yeah.
And about 80 were killed due to accidents and equipment failures and things like that. So you have a margin of at least triple, because maybe they're still using museum pieces to keep airplanes running, or keeping helicopters running, or, you know, a truck, yeah, or whatever. And that's just appalling. You know, he gave a great example on a battleship. It might be a destroyer carrier, I don't remember which, that would be in port at Newport News or Norfolk, Virginia, one of them, getting repairs. Like, well, every time we have one of these silly continuing resolutions that doesn't book the money for ongoing, they have to take a timeout on whatever repairs are being done in that port if it's not a predictable line of money of spending, you know. So that delays that ship going out. So they have to make a call. Do we send the ship out with most of the systems refurbished, you know, the ones you really have to have for reliability, and maybe not some of the Western weapon systems are 100%, or does it sit there in the port longer? Meanwhile, there's a ship out there with your son, your daughter, your cousin going out there that needed to come in a year ago and be refurbished, and, you know, for all the things you could imagine would need to be done on a ship. And that's what delays this stuff, and that's what's so appalling, that we can get the spending packages through the House, and we do. You get over to the Senate, and they hold it hostage for DACA, or they hold it, you know, for more social spending or whatever it is. And we gotta have a breakthrough in the Senate on that. I got to speak with a couple senators on that, and there was urging of Mitch McConnell.
Why don't they just do the 5150? Yeah, change the rule.
Well,
on that,
yeah,
one.
5150, right? That's funny. It kind of is that way over there, especially sometimes. But,
hey, Congressman,
we need to have we can apply what we'd like to. I think wouldn't be totally unreasonable is apply the 51 to appropriations bills, because we had a silly three-day shutdown a couple weeks ago that should be a prime example to the American people. Like, look, this is why we're going to move to a 51 vote on spending appropriations, okay? We're not going to do it on everything. And then one other suggestion was that bills can't even come to the floor for debate without a 60. Why don't we have it be a 51 so you can debate on TV in front of the American people, and then have your 60 vote to pass the bill. But, so those are two things that are seriously being talked about that would, I think, make a big difference on Senate rules to loosen things up. Go ahead.
Well, do you have a couple minutes? I need to take a quick break here.
Sure. The hills are starting to look a little deeper here. But
okay,
ahead.
Okay. We'll just take a couple minutes, and we'll be right back with Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by North State Security. If you're looking for somebody that can get there, or an organization that can get to your business or your home in under 10 minutes, call North State Security, 243-0295. Become part of that organization that will protect your business, your family, your neighborhood, all of this at North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968. We'll be right back and with Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Freedom of the press. What does that mean today? At one time, it meant that the press had a protected status to be the watchdogs of the government and our politicians, to be neutral in their oversight of the news and politics, and to keep the people informed and the politicians honest. Sadly today, the national news is nothing more than a political puppet with a corrupt, one-sided liberal progressive agenda. We can no longer trust or believe the media, but we can put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Kevin, Northern California. Okay, welcome back to the show here. I promise not to sing anymore. Free Fire Radio with Carl and DeBott. Linda's getting ready for the Go Red launch. Did I chase you away, Congressman?
Well played there. It wasn't any worse than the singing from a few guys on the bus coming into town here the other day. So.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business, man's last stronghold. Discounts for seniors and veterans. I can't think of a better place to get a haircut. In fact, I'm rolling in here right after the show today. Okay, we're here with Congressman Doug LaMalfa. We've talked about the State of the Union. We've talked
about... What was the name of that church on the first ad there?
That's the True Life Church, and it's nice. Out in Bella Vista. And you know what? He's not afraid to address political issues from the pulpit.
Well, the church needs to be engaged because... Well, I'm going to get off on a tangent here, but... I mean, that's a group of people that needs to be a core of America, of the value system. And if you believe in the Bible, which I do, you know, again, you don't want to politicize too much, but the value, the common, the core issues are the same, and we got to be engaged.
And he believes that.
Watching everything deteriorate around us because people are not engaged.
Terry believes that, and his congregation is growing out there. He also... He has no problem with people being having concealed carry in the church. So okay. So if somebody walks in, they may have a little, you know, if somebody goes into a no gun zone, they may find that's not exactly a no gun zone. What else was discussed at the meeting besides the infrastructure? Is this something really though? I mean, he's looking for what $1.2 trillion. How's that paid for?
Well, there was a number. It was like significantly lower than that per year. So
okay.
I don't know if it's something I should throw out there at this point. When it becomes more public, I'll talk to you about it. I hate to betray any kind of a confidence, but it will be. But it's not that big on a per year basis. But we have a lot of catching up to do. I mentioned, you know, the example of the ships that we have our nuclear triad that all hope the nukes are a deterrent, and if you know they're working, and everybody knows that ours haven't been maintained. We're very public about all this stuff, and so we have missiles in the silos that have been there maybe 40 plus years. Done is change the fuel in them, not upgrade the electronics or see if the rats have chewed up the wires. I hear some pretty deplorable things about what's in those tubes. Our submarines, we got great submarines. Our boomers are fantastic, but they're reaching that service life expectancy in the mid, 2020s here. We need to be phasing those Ohio class ones one at a time out, starting about, I think, 24, 25, 2026, one at a time until we get the next generation of boomers ready, because they're a deterrent. So, and then finally, the Air Force as well, too. So
they've got to actually have wings that aren't flying.
He mentioned, it's not just land, sea, and air, like maybe the old days. It's land, sea, air, space, and cyberspace is where all the all the battles are. So, I mean, that's just what impresses me about him, is that he wasn't particular towards any branch of the military, but all the different things that we, if we want to be prepared, and if we want to ensure the safety of our country, which we can't, no one's ever 100% safe, okay? I mean, and the government can't guarantee 100% safety, whether it's how many minutes it takes to get a cops to the door, or the firemen to your house, or a paramedic to your door. I mean, we're not in a perfect world. The same thing with the terrorist activity and stuff, but we can do a heck of a lot by using our capabilities and readiness to minimize those threats. And that's what he's talking about. That isn't all cheap, but it isn't cheap having another 9/11 either.
I think there was another wreck up here on 44 that hit somebody was killed. Out there toward down where you are, too, the past Chico and that road down there, they're always having people getting banged up down there.
Oh, yeah, the really bad one was Highway 70.
Yeah.
Is this Oroville and Marysville? Yeah.
When you start talking
about a lot of carnage there, and that's basically, I mean, they've done patches there because that's what they can get past environmentally, approval, a chunk of four lane here, and then a chunk of four lane there. And it needs to be finished off because, I'm not good at stats all the time. It's like 15 deaths in, a year and a half, something like that. And, by saying stats, that sounds like it minimizes the lives lost. And every one of those is a tragedy for a family and a friends there. And then we're looking at, we got a study for 2 or 3 years and spend $30 million, what the project will cost just to study it. That would build one-fifth of the four-laning that needs to be done there for the total cost. So, and when Trump talks about, in the speech the other night and in previous conversations, why does it take 10, 12, 14 years to permit this stuff? When they built the Golden Gate Bridge in 2 or 3 years, the Empire State Building in less than a year, Hoover Dam 2 or 3 years, whatever it was, and we spent way more than that. And the cost, I mean, it costs more to build the so-called suicide barrier on the Golden Gate Bridge than the Golden Gate Bridge cost in 37. Yeah, it's inflated dollars and this and that, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, because of the studies and everything.
Yeah, and so Trump wants to cut past that. Yeah, we'll do a rudimentary environmental study, make sure we're not doing something really bad, but when you're talking of an existing freeway or highway like Highway 70, look, it's already going through there. You're just going to put a couple more lanes on it, widen it out a bit. The bugs and trees and shrubs are already there. Are going to be not any more annoyed than they already are by cars going past. But we act like, oh my gosh, this is we've never heard of putting highway in. We're going to have to stop in 10 years and 4 different agencies going through the, all these different agencies get a piece of the permitting process, and they don't do it concurrently. Like, first it's Fish and Wildlife, then it's Army Corps, then it's this one, then it's that one. And by the time these guys move at the sloth-like pace, moving these papers around, we've lost 10 years, and how much more carnage and how much more inconvenience just on the traffic. And that's what Trump wants to get after, and that's what I've been wholeheartedly supportive of ever since I've been doing this. When I first, got in here, we needed levees repaired. And, repair the levee you have. It isn't a big environmental, monumental change. A lot of his stuff down in South Butte County and Yuba County and Sutter County or over in Hamilton City area, and even what might be needed up in Tehama and somewhere areas shoring up maybe a little bit around Anderson. Whatever it takes on flood control, we're not reinventing the wheel and cutting trees and forests that are overgrown. Or salvage them after a fire. Oh, we got to have lawsuits and more studies on that. It's ridiculous. And these guys have been having their way too long, and I think this administration is going to take a giant bite out of that crime. You know what I mean?
Okay, which leads us to the next thing, as far as crime and Department of Justice and the FBI. This memo which is causing a great deal of consternation. Is it going to be released today?
Only amongst the Democrats.
In the FBI, it seems like.
Look, there's a lot of good people in the FBI. This isn't impugning the whole entire thing of people that are dedicated to, you know, carrying out the mission. But you have some people that have been swayed by bad actions there and got political up at the upper echelon or here and there. So every apple barrel is going to have a bad apple once in a while, right? So this isn't impugning the entire FBI. It's about those elements that need to be straightened out, because people need to have confidence in their intelligence agencies, their law enforcement, and everything else that what is being done is right. So when you clean these bad actors out, it should raise that confidence back up. When you put the right, you know, like the VA, Carl, like, geez, we've had these secretary, you know, these directors at the VA that give us a bunch of double talk up until Secretary Shulkin coming in here, who really genuinely, I believe, in meeting with him, wants to get this straightened out. You know, admit the sins. You didn't commit them. Just say, hey, here's the mess we have. Let's get after it. You know, instead of the government having to hide it. Like,
well,
not
that's
fooling anybody.
I think that's the point is, okay, this has happened before. This is where we have to fix it. Let's get to work on it. And I think that there's parts of the FBI that's been politicized, just like the IRS, but it doesn't mean everybody has. So, no. But, they, you know, this thing, this memo coming out, I'm just kind of interested, just, you know, is it something that, you know, they misused the FISA and to go after Trump or his people?
I was able to review the memo, you know, the four-pager, and not supposed to talk about any detail until it actually is fully released. But in reviewing it, there's a lot of bad activity that's gone on in there and DOJ that really does need to come out and needs to be followed up and prosecute. I think we need a special counsel that can be independent of them so that it isn't the watchdog watching itself, so to speak, right?
Yeah, who watches the watchdog?
Right, and sometimes we don't have that accountability in government because look at the whole mess during the Obama era when you had Eric Holder and then Loretta Lynch. They're the prosecutors, and so Congress didn't have the power to somehow bring charges against them or arrest them, and it was this pickle we were in, like the ones that are supposed to be enforcing didn't enforce. Who can arrest them? You know, I mean, they have to appoint their own special counsel to investigate themselves, so that's kind of a constitutional crisis in its own. So, you know, it gets you thinking, like, we need to have some other third or fourth arm that can watchdog those watchdogs, because if they've been weaponized and politicized, that's why we had the loggerheads during the last part of that era, where we didn't really have the constitutional latitude. I mean, does that mean the House of Representatives needs to find ways to violate the law too, to go after them? I mean, where do you draw that?
Yeah, where do you stop? Okay, you know, in our last few minutes here, Congressman, where do you see it going here in the next 6 months? Priorities and stuff.
We'll continue to, I mean, we're hearing just yesterday the Atlanta Fed, one of our colleagues announced that they're projecting the quarter right now for growth, 5.4% growth in GDP. I mean, 3.0 is kind of the happy magic number everybody likes. If we're at 3.0, we're doing good. 3.5, a little better. The growth in this quarter so far, 5.4%. This economy's trying to boom, and it is. And so let's keep things out of the way that would stop the momentum. And, you know, everybody's worried about the tax go. It's going to cost $1.5 trillion over 10 years. That means $150 billion per year. If you don't think that by doing the right things to spur growth that we can't make up for $150 billion a year, then you don't have any confidence in the strength of America and its people and its innovation. You know, so I think we're making that up awful fast here. You know, just Apple alone bringing $350 billion or something?
350 and, what is it, 20,000 jobs or something?
20,000 jobs, and they're going to pay $38 billion in tax that was stranded overseas. So there's one-fourth of the $150 billion that, you know, that the Congressional Budget Office was talking about, right?
One-fourth.
Yeah, one-fourth. So Yeah, my colleague from Nebraska who gave me a number here, so, you know, Don Bacon.
Are they listening?
He's like him. So he's actually heading to San Diego to help christen a ship, my colleague Don Bacon here on the same boat. USS Omaha, there you go. This is Carl Bott, former retired Marine. There's never a former Marine, right, Carl?
I just either have the uniform on or off. That's it. So anyway, well, I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad to be able to have this much time with you, especially after the Trump State of the Union, which really, you know, a lot of people, you know, as we see in the polls, whether you're independent or even Democrats were saying they liked it. The talking
yeah,
heads.
The people that are trying to make political gain. I mean, you know, I get everybody has their sides on it, but gee whiz, the way they sat on their hands over that stuff, over the good parts, you know, disagree with some of the policy, but when the president said he believes all Americans are dreamers, that really underlines it for me. So I have you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that was good. Now that's going to make them mad because they're all about ignoring the border, illegal immigration. They use the euphemism, well, immigrants, they contribute. Well, we have legal immigrants, we have illegal immigrants. What is so hard about that? And I think more and more Americans are getting that. A lot of most Americans are sympathetic to the DACA young people there, and we're going to find a way to, you know, reach a bit of compromise with that. But we're not going to give away the store and naturalize everybody and all that. But in return, we get secure border, no more chain migration, none of this visa lottery business. I don't know how this stuff got put in place, because if we want people that want to come here and be part of America and have something to contribute. That was the old rules under immigration a lot of years ago. So I'm very optimistic. This, you know, the president is a controversial figure and maybe a little rough-edged on things, but every piece of policy I heard him talk about at the State of the Union is the common-sense stuff that I find and that is good, and that the same things I run on, and I'll keep talking about to my constituents as this 2018 election cycle, you know, advances too.
Well, that's all right. That's already starting. We're already getting ads for governors already. So,
yeah, try and ignore them. None of them are going to be very good, probably, huh?
Well, you know, I don't know what their chances are. Against.
people try and run the rumor mill. Say someone was saying, "Oh, somebody told me you weren't running again." Like, well, Carl, I'll reannounce it again. I am running in 2018, and we're going to see this through in restoring the strength of America and Northern California and bringing the jobs back to this district so people can live and thrive and have freedom. And like all your great advertisers you have on the show, that, you know, that's what's refreshing about this show is
Dave, this is
people in the audience you have there. And so this is why we do it. And I'm energized by what's been going on here lately.
What, Congressman, we believe in this country. We believe in this community. Our community, and you know this, is such a great community up here. And we've reinvested too. We've put in for an FM. We've put in for an FM license so that we can spread ourselves a little bit throughout the whole area. And we've applied for that, so we're going to find out about that here in the next few days, I think.
I need some help from the FCC. How do I need to go put the arm on them?
Well, not yet. I wasn't going to use you yet, but you know, if we need to, just to say, okay, these guys out there are really good guys. Anyway, Congressman, thank you so much.
Well, that's good, because you want to have that open debate and things that undermine our community, like right now this marijuana thing. I haven't even gotten into that yet. I know your city's thinking about it. My city in Oroville down there is thinking about it. You know, what a terrible thing to have in your backyard, and the element that's going to be coming up from Sacramento and other areas. And we don't even have a good DUI policy on people that are under influence of that stuff. So I would hope everybody get energized in stopping these marijuana, dispensaries being looked at by the cities as, or the counties or whoever, as revenue centers. It's going to be far outstripped by the problems and the tragedies are going to come from that. So I would just hope everybody get energized on that.
Oh, well, people are looking at that, and, of course, public safety. I mean, we're still battling the effects of 109, 47, and 57. I mean, it is just, well, you know what it's like. I mean, we're up to our butts. So
every sheriff I talk to and every jailer, like, it's just a mess, and we're in a messed up state. And I always have to disclaim to my colleagues, like, look, I'm not part of that state. I'm part of the Jefferson part of the state, okay? You know, so these and, I mean, that looks more and more like the only solution is Sacramento's on a jihad to oppose everything that you could associate with Trump. And I wonder what the response will be after the State of the Union. And they have more and more, they're putting more money in of state money to defend, you know, illegal immigrants in court. And they're just completely lost it down there. Unfortunately,
well, the high-speed train, they've got all these things. You know, I mean, you know, it would be nice if there was a nationwide, you know, coast-to-coast a train that was fast. But this high-speed train here, I mean, we could use at 26. It's already at a 36% overrun already after five miles of track.
High-speed train is called airliners. It's much more efficient to put a plane in the air than dragging all the friction down rails coast-to-coast. And, you know, I know they've talked about doing those vacuum tube things in one sense that could shoot from coast to coast. But all that infrastructure is hyper expensive, and people are fairly happy with the airline industry as far as its mobility and such. So let the market figure that out. And the market is not bearing that out on high-speed rail in California. They triple the price. Nobody in their right mind would invest in it unless they have guaranteed income, which is illegal under the proposition that put the whole question on the ballot that the voters barely
passed. Yeah, they can't subsidize it. Yeah, that's right. Well,
thank goodness those provisions are in there, and they knew they'd have to throw them in because they could have picked it apart. But it only passed 52-48% for a $33 billion system that now we know will be $100 billion if they put it to the specification that the voters voted on. And let's stop it, Jerry Brown.
Well,
you know, the federal government has defunded everything that would go that way other than what Obama gave away in the stimulus package that we don't seem to be able to have the legal ability to claw back, but they're not getting anything else. As far as clawing back other money, I'm glad to see Attorney General as well as Kirstjen Nielsen saying, look, we're going to go after these sanctuary city situations and the people that are promoting them. And so, you know, we'll need to be very specific on how we can target money to the people that are acting right, like, you know, our sheriff Tom here.
John Lopey, you know, is looking for help up there. He's in a battle for his, you know, for their existence up there against the marijuana trade.
Yeah, so he's got all that marijuana around him up there too. But, you know, Sheriff Osenko, he's got the same battles down here with the jail space and all that. In California, emptying prisons. Like, why do you have these spaces being emptied? We're not running out of bad guys. Why don't we just keep them in there cheaper? I can grow the rice, and my neighbors at Chico can grow the beans, and that's about it, right?
That's all you need. Well, you need, you know, and showers. One per 20. Here's the last big question. Patriots, Eagles?
Pardon?
Next big question is the New England Patriots or the Philadelphia Eagles? Or do you care?
Oh, I won't be watching, but I would probably root for the Eagles since they play the Dallas Cowboys twice a year, and I hate the Cowboys. So, and I'm tired of, you know, the Patriots and what goes on there. Although I have to admire their ability to build a franchise, and not a huge fan of Tom Brady, but he's still doing it 40 years old. I wish he acted a little nicer, but,
you
have to admire what Belichick is doing.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
The thing about Tom Brady, you know, as you age here, Doug, is that here's a guy, you know, as you get older, you know, it's like a fine wine. You're aging well, you know. See,
he's a model quarterback in all those areas. But, again, as some of the off-field stuff hasn't been very good. But Belichick's got an amazing thing going on there, and he's, you know, but I'd have to root for the Eagles on that one. But, again, I won't be watching because if they can't even put an ad on that says, please stand and honor what the flag is about, and in the whole thing where they use veterans, I think, as a prop at the stadium there. I just can't respect that.
No.
So, you know, let them regroup with their paying guys $10 million.
Yeah, they're looking at it. They're really worried that the viewership's going to go way down, and then they're going to, you know what, probably during this year, they're going to probably figure something out. Anyway, Congressman Doug LaMalfa, I know you're on your trip back. Thanks so much for spending this hour with us and talking about
different
things.
I'm glad this worked out better than I could have imagined here in the hills of West Virginia. So great cell reception. See, they know how to build infrastructure out here, and they get it done instead of whining about it or stopping in our home state. And, go Jefferson, right?
Go Jefferson. Okay, thanks a lot, Congressman, and have a safe trip.
All right, Carl, thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. All right. Okay, hey, he's for the Eagles, but he's not going to watch it because he doesn't watch football. We got some emails coming in here saying how much they liked the segment with that man on the street. So we're going to keep Keith on that for the foreseeable future. Okay, so Jared, you going to watch the game?
I am going to watch, and I am also going for the Eagles.
And you're going for the Eagles too. So is it because you want to see an upset, or just because you think you've had enough of Brady?
I've had enough of the Patriots in general.
But see, here's the reason. If I'm watching it, is the people that have worked so hard to be a champion and maintain the championship. You think about that. That's not easy.
Well, don't get me wrong. I think the Patriots are still going to win.
Yeah. But how do you keep that burning desire to win like that and continue like that? If you could tap into that and figure out how can we get that into Congress? That's the thing. Okay. Hey, everybody, you have a great weekend. It's going to be hot. It's going to be in the 70s, the mid-70s, maybe even the high 70s through the weekend. Have a wonderful weekend, whatever you do. And we'll be back here Monday with you.
At the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
By GOP congressional memo that's critical of the FBI.
According to White House officials, the president has cleared the way for the publication of the memo over the strong objections of his own Justice Department. The Republican document is said to show improper use of surveillance by the FBI in the Russia investigation. Democrats and Justice Department officials lobbied the White House this week to stop the